Welcome to our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, March 4th. In today's State Capitol Report, we'll get the latest on the John Doe investigation. It's over. We'll also talk about mining. The State Assembly this week is expected to vote on the mining legislation that passed the State Senate last week. Plus, there's another proposal for school funding. We'll talk about that as well. And we'll welcome your questions and reactions at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, and he joins us in the studio. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
So we have... The John Doe is over and no more charges will be issued. What does this mean, Sean?
Well, it means that this sort of big question mark that's been hanging out there for a long time now. I mean, we were talking about the first charges in this more than a year ago, that this big investigation into aides who worked for Governor Walker when he was Milwaukee County Executive is over. You know, the judge overseeing it, it's a semi-secret proceeding, so... you know, a lot of it, you kind of have to wait and see what's gonna come out next. And, you know, the big news last Friday was that they're done, that this proceeding, this John Doe proceeding is finished. And so, you know, thought that it might go higher up or get more, you know, more people who worked for the governor when he was county executive is effectively quashed.
Yeah, so we did have a handful of people who were charged with doing campaign work on county time.
Not just campaign work on county time. I mean, one of the governor's former top aides, Tim Russell, is going to be serving prison for embezzling money that was set aside for veterans. So, I mean, it was not an investigation that came up with nothing by any means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of initial round of people that they charged last year, Tim Russell, you know, longtime confidant of the governor, Kelly Reinfleisch, who was, you know, his deputy chief of staff, and, you know, those charges came out relatively early. There was some thought that go after them, get them to talk, and, you know, the investigation proceeds because that's how investigations like this sometimes go. And that didn't happen.
So, bluntly, Democrats and critics of Governor Walker were, I don't know, maybe hoping's too strong of a word, but were
I don't know if hoping's too strong.
Yeah,
of
they
a
were.
Word.
They, yeah. They were presuming. They were thinking that it was possible that Governor Walker could be charged because he knew about this, is what they thought.
Yeah, I mean, after the recall and after the governor won the recall, a lot of Democrats were saying it's not going to matter, that this is going to, this will get the governor eventually. And so, you know, the governor was asked last Friday, basically his reaction now that the investigation was complete.
The biggest thing I'm pleased is the process is complete, and I think we can move forward. I think the people of the state, just as we've said with other issues in the past, are ready to move forward. This is one more thing that allows us to move forward, and we're pleased that process is completed. And I thank Mr. Chisholm for looking into this.
Mr. Chisholm being Milwaukee County District Attorney John Chisholm.
Yeah. So the governor all along has said that he didn't know any of these activities were taking place.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the most serious charges in the complaint, it's sort of, one of the things that the governor says frequently is that this investigation started because his office, tipped off the DA. And in fact, his office did notify the DA that somebody they felt was embezzling funds from this, this veterans charity fund that they'd set up. And that's something that the DA pointed out when he first announced these charges more than a year ago, that this was brought to them by staff from the former county executive. If you read further into that criminal complaint, though, it was an odd case because the county executive's office did tip off the DA to the fact that there was some kind of embezzlement going on. then the county executive, then County Executive Walker, put that veterans fund in the hands of Tim Russell, who then proceeded to embezzle money from the veterans fund. I mean, they were separate cases. Mm-hmm. So is that you know, that criminal complaint to me has always been the most sort of eye-popping read out of any of them. You know, Tim Russell is going to be serving a prison sentence for those crimes.
Yeah, I know. I heard some Democratic lawmakers saying, well, Governor Walker should at least apologize for the activities of these wrongdoers in his office.
And he said he wasn't going to apologize for that. He was asked about that. He was also asked if the documents related to this investigation should all be released, and that, you know, so that we can kind of lift the curtain on what they were looking at. And here's what he said about that.
No, I mean, I think he looked into what we asked him to look to. He took action. He saw the actions were taken. We're pleased it's completed, and now it's time to move forward.
And yeah, side note to this, Democrats obviously were, you know, they were pushing that message that you ought to apologize. You ought to, you know, we ought to see everything that was behind this. They also, Democratic Party spokesman Graham Zelensky last week tweeted, comparing, Governor Walker to Jeffrey Dahmer. And that got, you know, some serious pushback, not only from Republicans, but also fellow Democrats who were saying that Graham had crossed a line there. Graham later in the day tweeted a couple apologies to, families of the victims of Jeffrey Dahmer and to Governor Walker.
Yeah. So it's over, and we move on, right?
This is a part of Governor Walker's history now, and so you know, it'd be with him whether or not it's an effective campaign tool in 2014. You know, we don't know if he decides to, you know, if he gets through the 2014 election, decides to pursue you know, a national office, certainly something that could get brought up there. I mean, you've seen primaries for national mm-hmm. office can be, you know, nastier than the general election in some respects. So it's something that could be out there. But here you have a definitive end to this investigation. And, you know, Governor Walker and members of his state administration, of his governor's administration, were never charged.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. He joins us just about every Monday for the State Capitol Report, brings us up to date on the issues making news at the state capitol. Talked about the end of the John Doe investigation into the activities of the staff in Milwaukee County Executive Scott Walker's office during his campaign for governor. That's now over, and on Friday, investigators say no more charges will be issued. Also coming up, and we'll talk about this next, the State Assembly this week will be taking up the mining legislation, the bill that passed in the State Senate last week. The governor is expected to sign that into law. We wonder if you're okay with this. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Also coming up in the second half of our State Capitol Report after 7:30, we'll get a couple of perspectives on Governor Walker's plan to charge state employees who smoke more for their health insurance. That's coming up after 7:30. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Are you ready for some more snow? Well, ready or not, here it comes. Light snow is expected to start falling in western Wisconsin during the day today and move eastward with a couple of inches of snow falling in southern Wisconsin Monday afternoon and evening. Then the snow will become heavy overnight, and there are some winter storm warnings posted. 6 to 12 inches of snow expected to fall in the southern half of the state with this storm system that starts pretty much tonight and through the day tomorrow. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson. And Sean, we had the State Senate last week passed that mining bill, and the Assembly takes it up this week.
Yeah, last time we talked, we were saying that the Budget Committee was going to take it up Later that day, they did. They passed it. And there was some question then about whether it would pass the Senate, or at least whether it would need to undergo, you know, further changes to pass the Senate. Yeah, 'cause there were signals by Republicans about a month ago that it was a work in progress. And, you know, it seemed like they might need to do some more to get the votes in the Senate. Turns out they did not. And all eyes this year were on really, you know, kind of a handful of moderates in the Senate, and particularly Robert Coles of Green Bay, guy who's generally been supported by environmental groups for the stands that he's taken. Robert Coles was basically, you know, you could think of him as this year's Dale Schultz. I mean, last year, Dale Schultz, a Republican from Richland Center, was able to block the mining bill by joining with Democrats. And so over the summer, Democrats formed a study committee, really dug into the issue. Senator Coles showed up at that committee kind of on his own to learn about what was happening with this bill. And so Senator Coles thanked Senator Schultz for slowing down the process, but when he spoke to the Senate, he said that the bill was good enough for him.
So I thank the senator from the 17th for having the guts and the fortitude of holding things up. It still may not be good enough for him, and he'll articulate that. But I believe this bill is good enough for me at this point. I've got fingerprints on it.
He's talking about a few amendments that were made to the bill you know, about a month ago, when we were saying that it looked like there might need to be more changes going forward. A few of the big ones: it reduced the size of a mining, a barrier around a mining site, basically. You know, the original bill would have not let the DNR, or would have increased the distance that these groundwater monitoring wells would be to the mining site. Coles amendment got rid of that. He has something that said that if you're going to fill lakes and streams with mining waste, which this bill permits, you can only fill the smallest lakes and streams, so 2-acre lakes, streams under 2 miles, and then something called, you know, get pretty jargony here, but tiered mitigation. So if you destroy a wetland or a lake here, the company's supposed to build or pay for a new one to be built elsewhere, you know, basically a man-made wetland. And this would prioritize that you do it in the watershed around this mining site. Fair to say, though, environmental groups were not happy with those changes. They did not get the vote of Senator Dale Schultz this year, who said that this what he heard from people up north is that they were you know, afraid of this bill, and they felt like people weren't listening to them.
They believe they're being asked to sacrifice their pristine environment, which they know is a sure thing, for the promise of a fictional picture of a prosperous future with a mining economy.
And Democratic Senator Bob Jauch, whose district includes the proposed mine in Iron and Ashland counties, said he framed this issue in pretty much any way you can think of, but he did talk quite a bit about the big question being, what kind of government are we going to have?
Is it going to be a government that looks out for the interests of community and common ground, or is it going to be one in which the elective officials promote conflict and practice conquest to the detriment of the public will? Are we going to sustain a government that is going to be stewards for future generations, or are we going to become government that serves as subservient to the corporate world and oblivious to the public interest?
But mining bill sponsor Tom Tiffany of Halehurst, Republican, framed the issue in terms of the jobs that this bill is going to create. He says that, you know, this passed on a 17-16 vote in the Senate, but he says years from now, 5 to 10 years, when people are collecting a paycheck from this mine, they're not going to worry about whether or not it was a bipartisan vote. And, you know, he said that this was basically the start of something big in Wisconsin.
This is the first step in the rebirth of the mining industry. And I want my colleagues to know, those of you that choose to vote for this bill tonight, you can go forth with every confidence that the regulatory agencies, both state and federal, they're going to do a thorough review of a mining permit and make sure that a mining applicant does their work in an environmentally safe manner.
And so Tiffany was thinking that within 3 years we would already start seeing that mine get built.
He said 5 to 10 years on the floor, I think.
Okay.
But you heard him say at the end there that this is something that can be done in an environmentally safe manner. That's been, you know, something that he's really hammered home this year. He was asked by the Cap Times last week, having not been in the interview, I'm not sure what he was asked, but it looks like they got more specific. And they asked him about a part of the bill that spells out the fact that there's going to be damages to wetlands. And, he told him the bill reflects the reality of mining. There are going to be some impacts to the environment above an iron ore body. And the part of the bill he's talking about, I don't know if I want to read the entire paragraph here, but, I mean, there is a portion of the bill that says that because of the fixed location of ferrous mining mineral deposits in the state, it is probable that mining those deposits will result in adverse impacts to wetlands. So it's written into law. The legislature is saying it's in the legislative findings. So it's basically a message from the legislature to any judge that's going to hear a court challenge to this in the future. We, the legislature, understand that where you have ore body, there's going to be an environmental impacts to wetlands. It's a significant step and, a significant shift in this bill from where law has been in Wisconsin.
You don't expect that any major changes will happen in the assembly this week, Sean?
No. I mean, the big question was, would they get some more changes in the Senate? And they did not. Speaker Voss, Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, says he does not expect any amendments in the assembly. They're going to start debating this at 9 o'clock in the morning on Thursday.
All right. We have a caller on the mining issue, Susan in Phelps. Hello, Susan.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, Susan. What's your question or your point?
My point is that in 2003, U.S. Steel owned the land that Gogebic Taconite says there is plenty of ore to begin a mine, and this is why there was a huge push to change our mining law and the explanation that we're going to get all kinds of jobs. U.S. Steel in 2003 was negotiating with the Nature Conservancy to put that 16,000 acres of land in a conservation easement, to sell a conservation easement, which would have banned mining in perpetuity. The state of Wisconsin put $1.1 million toward that purchase of the easement. The federal government allocated $3.4 million toward the purchase of the easement. And then the deal fell through because U.S. Steel ended up selling many of its land holdings around the country to RGGS Minerals out of Houston, Texas.
Susan,
they now own the land.
Can you tell us what's the significance of this?
The significance is that the state was required to do an appraisal of the land interests, which would have included the mineral values back in 2003. And U.S. Steel was willing to put that land into a conservation easement. If, in fact, there is a profitable ore body on the range, U.S. Steel never would have been willing to sell a conservation easement.
All right. And has this been discussed at all, Sean?
No. Susan, if you can send me an email with details on that, I can tell you what has been discussed in that context. And having sat through the entire debate, that particular issue didn't come up. But the fact is, the minerals here have been known about for a long time. It's not like they were just discovered. And they were known about when Wisconsin's mining industry was booming, back when, during that time when, that sort of, created the namesake of Iron County, everything like that. I mean, they knew about this ore. It's just, it is difficult to get to because it's at such a steep pitch in the ground, and because it's a low grade, you essentially have to, pulverize the earth and separate it with magnets, and it's going to lead to a big pit, and you're going to have a lot of mining waste. That mining waste has to go somewhere. That's difficult up there because it's a water-rich environment, and so That's why all these changes to, you know, wetlands laws, being able to fill smaller lakes and streams, all that is significant.
All right. Thank you very much, Susan, for the call. We have just a minute or so to go for this half of the State Capitol Report. Sean, I presume there might be some more discussion this week on Senate President Mike Ellis proposing a different and alternative school funding plan.
Yeah, we haven't seen, you know, the bill yet. It may be something that's negotiated toward the end of, you know, when this bill goes or the budget bill goes through the Joint Finance Committee. But Mike Ellis, who has been critical of the governor's education plan, saying that it doesn't invest enough in public education, basically gives them no increase as far as money they can spend on students. Mike Ellis says he's going to come out with an alternative that relies on a combination of increased state tax dollars that would be shifted away from somewhere else and a small increase in the property tax, and that's going to lead to some kind of increase in public schools. So we'll find out, you know, what that means as this debate goes forward. But it looks like it's going to be a situation where Republicans, Ellis, Luther Olson, and others in the Senate who are critical of the education budget, they're going to come out with their own alternative.
All right. And so we've got mining, we've got school funding. Anything else this week that we can look forward to hearing your reports on, Sean?
Yeah, there's a bunch of there's a few bills up in the Assembly coming in this Wednesday too, but it's going to be overshadowed by the mining debate.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Thanks.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Stay tuned. Our State Capitol Report will continue after the news. We'll bring in two guests who will have different perspectives on a proposal in the state budget that would charge state workers who smoke more for their health insurance. $50 a month more if you smoke and are a state worker. What do we think of this? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.